بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. So yeah, so we'll start. We've got three students and more students can join inshallah. Okay. Does anybody want to read the ibarat? Anyone? Hussein, do you want to read or you want to pass?
I think I'll pass.
Okay. Anyone? Ali Muhammad or Faisal? Want to read? No?
Assalamu alaikum. I could try the tashkil or not there, so I'm just scared I'll make some mistakes. So
try. You read the first paragraph.
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم قال الشيخ العلامة رحلة شيخ الإسلام علم الإعلامي شهاب الدين أبو الفضل أحمد بن علي بن محمد بن العسقلاني الشهير بابن حجر الشافعي فسح الله في مدته وأعاد على المسلمين من بركته.
Okay. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa sallallahu ala Jazakallah, brother Faisal. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Qala al-shaykh al-allamah ar-ruhla, the shaykh, the allama, the well sought after travel to Shaykh al-Islam, alamul a'lam, the signs of a sign, Shihabuddin Abu al-Fadl Ahmad ibn Ali ibn Muhammad al-Asqalani. الشهير بابن حجر الشافعي فسح الله في مدته. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى open up his time. وأعاد على المسلمين من بركته and make his baraka on the Muslims recurrent. So obviously, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi is not saying this. This was written, this bit, because these books have been transmitted through sanad, through isnad. This bit is by his student by the name of Ahmad ibn Muhammad al-Akhsasi, who completed the, so Ahmad ibn Muhammad al-Akhsasi, who completed the writing or transcription of this book 1 year before Imam ibn Hajar Asqalani died, and Imam ibn Hajar Asqalani endorsed it. So that is 851 Hijri. Imam ibn Hajar Asqalani died in 852 Hijri. So this is 851 Hijri. So Imam Ibn Hajar says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi lam yazal aliman qadiran. All praises are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is omniscient, all-knowing. Lam yazal aliman, ever-knowing. Qadiran, all-powerful. Hayyan, all-living. Qayyuman, subsistent. Sami'an, basiran, hearing and seeing. Yeah. So we got alim or alim, lam yazal aliman, qadiran, hayyan, qayyuman, sami'an, basiran. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there's a seventh one according to, so these six, so from this, what you can understand from this is that Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi is a classical Ash'ari, okay, and he is going according to the Ash'ari, what we call sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the seven sifats or six sifats according to some, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alim, is qadir, you know, qudra, Hay, Qayyum, Sami' Basir, and then according to Maturidi is Takwin. So from there you get an indication of his kind of theological orientation. Yeah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, and I praise, I witness that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, la sharika lahu, there is no sharik with him, wa ukabbiru takbira, and I do takbir of him. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin alladhi arsalahu ila an-nas kaffa bashira wa nadhira wa ala alihi Muhammadin wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. So we don't need to translate that. Amma ba'd, Imam Ibn Hajar says, thereafter, fa inna tasanifa fi istilahi ahli al-hadith qad kathurat lil a'imma fi al-qadimi wal hadithi, that tasnif, writings, yeah, writings on the terminology of the people of a hadith. Okay, so terminology fi istilahi ahli al-hadith, terminology of the people of hadith, had kasurat lil a'imma fil qadimi wal hadith, are many written by ulama, both previous ulama and current ulama. So he's talking, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayh was born in 773 in Mamluk, Egypt, and died in 852. Yeah, 773, and he died in 852. So he is talking about his time. That by his time, the works on the istilah of Ahlul Hadith have been many, and these books have been written by previous scholars, but also scholars living in his time. So that's why he says, "Kathurat al-a'imma fil qadimi wal hadithi." So Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh was born in 773. He died in 852. I couldn't get access to the portal, that's why I didn't put the biography of Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh. So you can read the biography of Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh. When I put it up, inshallah, and we don't need to go out, look a lot into his life, because there's quite a lot of stuff written on him. So we'll just leave it at that. He says, "Famin awwali man sannafa fi dhalika," the very first to have written on this topic. Yeah, the very first to have written on this topic. Al-Qadhi Abu Muhammad Ar-Ram Hurmuzi fi kitabihi Al-Muhaddith Al-Fasil lakinnahu lam yastaw'ib. The very first one to have written on this topic is Qadhi Abu Muhammad Ar-Ram Hurmuzi in his book Al-Muhaddith Al-Fasil Bayn Ar-Rawi Wal-Wa'i. Al-Muhaddith Al-Fasil Bayn Ar-Rawi Wal-Wa'i lakinnahu lam yastaw'ib. However, he did not, it's not comprehensive. Okay, so now Imam Ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi is starting on the history of ulum al-hadith, and this is why last week I didn't touch upon the history of ulum al-hadith, because Imam Ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi, he touches on that. However, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi is starting with the books, monographs, independent books written on the mustalahat of the Ahlul Hadith, or the terminologies of Ahlul Hadith. Imam Abu Muhammad Ar-Ram Hurmuzi is a 5th century scholar. He died in 405. Okay, but Hadith has been there since the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So at least we've got something like 350 years before that. And this is way past the age of, you know, Bukhari and the A'imma Sitta. So does that mean that they did not have a methodology? They did not have an istilah. So Imam Ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi, when he says that Abu Muhammad Ar-Ram Hurmuzi is the first person to have written on this topic, what he means by that is the first one to have written, dedicated a book to that. So we can say that ulumul hadith has gone through a kind of, as far as the writing of ulumul hadith, has gone through a number of phases. One of the first to have written on this topic is Imam Shafi'i. Okay, Imam Shafi'i, within his risala, he puts down, so risala is usulul fiqh, and within the risala, he puts down his methodology of hadith, confirming the opinion of those people who say that ulumul hadith is nothing more than Shafi'i usulul fiqh. because Imam Shafi'i's book, Ar-Risala, is a book on Shafi'i, Usul al-Fiqh, and not necessarily Ulum al-Hadith per se. So Imam Shafi'i is the first one to have documented that. And then what we have is post-Imam Shafi'i, we have ulama who have written kind of their own methodology to their books, okay? And in those methodologies, what the ulama have done, they haven't kind of really written like independent monograph, but it's a part of their methodology. But from there, what we can do is we can look at some of the initial discussions that was happening. So, for example, Imam al-Tirmizi rahmatullahi alayh has got a book called Ilal al-Saghir. Okay, it's only a few pages, and Ilal al-Saghir is a appendix to his Sunan. Okay, so it's not an independent book, it's an appendix to his Sunan, and in there he talks about his own methodology of writing hadith. He talks about he talks a bit about Ilal. He discusses the concept of ghiba, right? Ghiba, because ghiba was a big thing for the muhaddithun, in the sense that they were getting attacked by the Sufis. The Sufis were saying that the muhaddithun are going against the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and going against the Quran, because in their jarh and ta'adil, what they're doing, jarh and ta'adil, is nothing more than ghiba. Right, and therefore Imam At-Tirmidhi comes to a defense of the muhaddithun, saying that no, this is ghiba in the religion, and therefore is not ghiba. And he quotes Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who says to Yahya ibn Ma'in, "Ta'al naghtabu sa'atan fi sabilillah." Come on, let's do ghiba in the path of Allah for a few hours. So he talks about those kind of issues, but it's not really an independent monograph that he has written on Ulum al-Hadith, it's just his methodology. Similarly, Imam Muslim, in the Muqaddama of Muslim, he talks a bit about, the conditions of liqa, bit about tadlis, bit about, the shurut al-ruwat, and things like that. Again, it's not an independent book, it's a part of his methodology to his Sahih Muslim. Imam Abu Dawood has written a risala to the people of Makkah, Risala Abi Dawood ila Ahli Makkah, explaining his methodology in writing the Sunan. And in there, he basically says, the ahadith that I have not commented on, sakata alayhi, then these are salihun. Salih means salihul ihtijaj. Similarly, Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, has written in different places, even within the Sahih, Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has written some things about the istilahat of hadith. So Imam Bukhari did not have he did not make a difference between akhbarana and haddathana. He did not make a difference between haddathana, akhbarana, and anba'ana. And in the Sahih al-Bukhari, he has a bab where he's talking about this, haddasana, akhbarana, anba'ana, and then he has a hadith to prove that within the same hadith, and we'll read that hadith later on when we go to the adat al-tahammul, where the Prophet ﷺ is using the word anba'ana and akhbarana interchangeably. So there are some of those in the Sahih al-Bukhari. Similarly, we also find that Imam al-Tahawi, rahmatullahi alayhi, has written a few risalas, on the concept of akhbarana and haddathana. Imam al-Nasa'i has written quite a bit on ilal and asma al-sahaba, and, Ali ibn al-Madini has wrote kitab al-ilal. So these are kind of original sources that the ulama have written, and primarily they were kind of methodology chapters to their bigger works. But it's Imam Ar-Ram Hurmuzi is the first one who actually wrote an independent monograph, and it's called Al-Muhaddith Al-Fasil Bain Al-Rawi Wal-Wa'i. So here, what he's doing, I mean, Sheikh Sharif Hatim Al-Auni basically says that even though Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi mentions this as an initial book on Ulum al-Hadith, but actually it's not. It really doesn't cover a lot of the topic. And he says the devil is in the detail. If you look at the name, he's just basically saying, well, a muhaddith. And how do you differentiate a muhaddith, right, al-fasil, bain al-rawi, from just a transmitter and a person who kind of really understands. So a critic, a wa'i, is not only a transmitter, but also a naqid of hadith. And Sheikh Sharif Hatim Al-Auni is correct, because if you studied that book, then you will see that this book starts off by looking at questions related to how old are you? How old should you be when you start learning hadith? How old should you be when you... So some of the topics here, how old should you be when you start teaching hadith? You know, those are the topics. So I've got the book here. If you can just have a look at it. Where is it? So some of those topics, it's not your kind of classical, what is it? I might find it. Not, I always lose my stuff. So this is the only edition of this book that is available by Ajjaj al-Khatib. Ajjaj al-Khatib is the one who's written the brilliant book called As-Sunnah Qabla Tadween. So he's the editor of this. Ajjaj al-Khatib. So if we basically look into the Fahris, we can see the kind of topics that he deals with. And you know, if you look into the Fahris, the index and contents of books, then you know a lot about that book already. There we go. So it starts with the fadila, then goes on to niyat of talab al-hadith. So it starts like, how does a person become like from a muhaddis to starts off learning hadith to a critic? So it's more adab. It's more of a kind of instruction manual of the etiquettes and adab of studying hadith rather than the mustalahat. You know, so a lot of it is about tahammul. Jam'a bayna al-riwaya wa al-diraya. So you can see al-kuna. So there is hardly any kind of istilahat, later istilahat in the sense of like what Ibn Hajar says here. It's more about the training of a muhaddith manual. And there is a PhD thesis written on Ram Hurmuz's Al-Muhaddith Al-Fasil by an Orientalist. It's quite called Librandi, he's called. And he kind of looks into the nuances of Al-Muhaddith Al-Fasil. So you can look that up, inshallah. So that's Imam Abu Muhammad Ar-Ram Hurmuzi. Then we have Imam Al-Hakim Abu Abdullah Al-Naysapuri. Lakinahu lam yuhadhab wa lam yuratab. So we have Imam... So then we have Imam Hakim. So sorry, Imam Abu Muhammad Ar-Ram Hurmuzi died in 365 Hijri. Imam Hakim al-Naysapuri, who's the Sahib al-Mustadrak ala Sahihain, he died in 405. And he can be the first one to have attributed like some kind of istilahat. However, he did not, it wasn't complete. He had something like 50 points that he discusses, lam yuhadda wa lam yurattab, but it's all over the place. Yeah, it's not very well organized. There is a manuscript of that in the John Ryland's University Library, John Ryland's Library at Manchester University. I've seen it when I was studying there. Imam Hakim Abu Abdullah Naysapuri has got another book on Ulumul Hadith called Al Madkhal. which is like a few pages, and you can just kind of read it in like kind of a 1 hour. And that's readily available. His other book is not that readily available. You'll have to look a bit more. So he was actually the first one to have written down like 50 points on this Ulum al-Hadith. Then what we have is his student, Abu Nu'aym al-Isfihani, or Asfahani Isfihani. Abu Nu'aym al-Isfihani died in 430 Hijri. فَعَمِلَ عَلَى كِتَابِهِ مُسْتَخْرَجًا وَأَبْقَى أَشْيَاءَ لِتَمُتَعَقِّبٍ. And he did a mustakhraj of his book. Mustakhraj basically here means addendum, like an appendix. He added more stuff to it. If there were ahadith, then he did takhrij of them. This is Abu Nu'aym al-Isfahani, the author of Hilyatul Awliya, the author of Dalailun Nabuwa, etc., etc., Muhaddith. But he has left quite a lot of stuff out for people to come afterwards. So that's Abu Nu'aym al-Isfahani's book, which is not very readily available. Please do stop me if you need any clarifications or if you want to ask any questions. ثم جاء بعدهم الخطيب أبو بكر البغدادي. Then afterwards came Khatib Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who died in 463 Hijri. Okay, so it says فَصَنَّفَ فِي قَوَانِينَ الرِّوَايَةِ كِتَابًا سَمَّاهُ الْكِفَايَةِ. Okay, so these ibarat here, yeah, this ibarat here, and the ibarat coming afterwards, yeah, here. A lot of this ibarat has been kind of, this is modified versions or modified versions of the text from Imam Ibn Salah's discussion. So he's basically literally taken it up and kind of changed it here and there. But if you look at Ibn Salah's wordings in this one, you see that it's very, very similar. Okay, and they do that in classical Muslim scholarship. There was no such thing as plagiarism. What they will do is, they will just literally pick out things and plonk it in their books, and everybody was fine with it. There was no such thing as plagiarism, and the reason why is because by putting it in their books, then they're distributing the ilm even more widely. So that was the idea. So maja ba'dhum al khatib Abu Bakr al Baghdadi. Then Khatib Abu Bakr al Baghdadi came, who died in 463. فَصَنَّفَ فِي قَوَانِينِ الرِّوَايَةِ. So notice the language. Yeah, he authored on the rules. Okay, rules. So this is now we get this kind of idea of a technical discipline. Yeah, an idea of a technical discipline related to rules, and an abstract discipline related to the rules that is coming about. If you look at the some of the discussions in Muhaddith al-Fasil by Aram Hurmuzi, so for example, if you look at the concept of Isnad Ali and Isnad Safil, high Isnad, low Isnad, even the language that Imam Ram Hurmuzi uses, for Isnad Ali, he uses Isnad al-Ta'ali. For low Isnad, he uses Isnad al-Tasaful, okay? Ta'ali tasaful are from bab tafa'ul, right? These are babs, fa'al or ism master, and there is a kind of a nuanced connotation of actively, seeking those isnad, high isnad, and excuse me, low isnads. So it's got this fa'al involved in it. By the time of Khatib al-Baghdadi, what we have is we basically see that the discipline is now becoming independent, is formulating its own rules, and it's becoming more abstract, qawaneen. And then we find, isnad ali, isnad safil, and then even later on, we find the concepts turn into ulul isnad, So you can see that even in the kind of terminologies that they use, there is an element of theory, theoretical abstractness rather than practice. The earlier scholars, they were kind of more practice-based, so they didn't really go down and write the methodology. It was all kind of, practice-based. But later on, you know, it becomes more refined, it becomes more defined, the boundaries are more, they use more kind of logical, what we call a sabr wa taqseem, logical deductions to basically say, well, this is a logical possibility, this is a logical possibility, these are all the different logical possibilities, even though in practice there is, you know, you won't get hadiths like that, but because it's an aqli, rational, logical possibility, they still discuss it. And Imam Ibn Hajar does that quite a lot. I'll point out the places where he's talking about logical, rational possibilities born out of the different possibilities, logical possibilities. However, in practice, there is no such thing. There's no such hadith that is available in this world that fits under that theory. So this is when we start seeing, you know, by the time of 463, Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi's, we see this kind of like an abstractness coming around. فَصَنَّفَ فِي قَوَانِينِ الرِّوَايَةِ كِتَابًا سَمَّاهُ الْكِفَايَةَ فِي الْكِفَايَةَ فِي عِلْمِ الرِّوَايَةَ. So he's written two books. One is one that he's written on the rules called al-kifaya, and the other one he's written wafi adabihi and adab. He's written a book called al-jami' li adabi sheikh wa sami'. So these are the two books. These are readily available. Yeah, al-kifaya fi ilmi riwaya and al-jami' li adabi sheikh wa sami'. It is in kifaya. The book of Kifaya by Khatib al-Baghdadi, we see the kind of mantiqi. Anybody studied mantiq? So you all know these istilahat, right? Like I said, that this is like an intermediate class. You know, if you're studying this class for a like a basic understanding of ulum al-hadith, then this is not really for you. So you have to go and join a nukhba. This is a bit more intermediate. So you understand all these terminologies, right? Mantiq and things like that. Yeah. So we find that Khatib al-Baghdadi was the first one who kind of introduced mantiqi terminologies into ulum al-hadith. He was very much influenced by usul al-fiqh. Usul al-fiqh is very much based on logical deductions and mantiq, the way that it's classified. Kifaya is the first book that we have. It's the first time ever we get the discussion of al-mutawatir in there. Previously in Abu Nu'aym al-Isfahani's or Ar-Ram Hurmuzi or Imam al-Hakim, we don't get a discussion of the mutawatir hadith in there. There is no such, because mutawatir hadith is not a concept, it's not an ulumul hadith concept from the outset. It's basically a usul al-fiqh concept, and that's where we get these kind of blending of these two topics. And Khatib al-Baghdadi is the first one to do that, where we get a disciplinary confusion and these concepts are kind of bleeding into each other. So things like khabr wahid and khabr mashhur and mutawatir, these were originally not ulum al-hadith concepts. They were introduced by Khatib al-Baghdadi because he was very much influenced by mantiq and aqliyat and usul al-fiqh, and he brings those and merges those discussions, and then henceforth everybody picks up on that, and then it becomes a part of the tradition. And it's the new scholars like Sheikh Hamza Abdullah Malibari, Sheikh Sharif Hatim al-Auni has a whole book called Al-Manhaj al-Muqtarah fi Ilm al-Mustalah, where they are kind of critiquing those ideas. I mean, like Sheikh Sharif Hatim al-Auni has written something like 100 pages critiquing that the concept of mutawatir is not really a hadith terminology, and the way that the usulul fiqh scholars, the way that they define mutawatir in that sense, he basically says that there is not a single hadith that's available in the world like that fulfill those conditions. There is a discussion on mutawatir coming later on. We will pick up on that a bit more, inshallah. Then he says, وَقَلَّ فَنٌّ مِنْ فُنُونِ الْحَدِيثِ إِلَّا وَقَدْ صَنَّفَ فِيهِ كِتَابًا مُفْرَدًا. And there is very rarely a topic on the from the topics of ulum funun al hadith, basically means topics of ulum al hadith, where Khatib al Baghdadi has not written an independent, a single monograph on that. So if he's written on the mustalahat, he's written on the adab, he's written on al mu'talaf wal muftaraq, he's written on the sahabas, he's written on al asma wal kuna, he's written on mufrad, he's written on mudallisin, you know, he's written on majhulin, he's written on musturin, independent books. Yeah. So some of these books are big, some of these books are only a few pages. But this is that there is not a single topic of ulumul hadith that we have that Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi has not written a risala on that. And this is why he says, "Fakana kama qala al-Hafiz Abu Bakr ibn Nuqta." Hafiz Abu Bakr ibn Nuqta basically says, "Kullu man ansafa." علم أن المحدثين بعد الخطيب عيال على كتبه. So كل من أنصفا, basically you can have two meanings on that. Everyone who has authored, yeah, one possible meaning is everyone who has authored a book knows that the محدثين are dependent on the books of Khatib after him. Yeah, that's one meaning. But the more stronger meaning is that everyone who is just, yeah, knows that the muhaddithun after Khatib al-Baghdadi are dependent on his books. Yeah. Khatib al-Baghdadi, you know, he was the kind of, from this later generation, right, he was kind of like a marja, he was the one who is par excellence. I mean, it's a very beautiful story about Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayh. Imam Ibn Hajar used to kind of look up to Imam Shamsuddin al-Dhahabi. Shamsuddin al-Dhahabi is a student of Imam Ibn Taymiyyah. And, you know, one of the first times as a kind of a mature, I mean, he went to Umrah and Hajj many times, but as a mature student, serious student, he goes to, you know, the Haram, and he drinks from the well of Zamzam, and he does dua. Az-Zamzamu lima shuriba lahu. He does dua, and his dua is, Allah, give me more knowledge in hadith than Imam Shamsuddin al-Dhahabi. Give me more knowledge in hadith than Imam Shamsuddin. So now you can understand that how much, you know, he has respect for Imam Shamsuddin al-Dhahabi. And the ulama basically say that he has surpassed Imam Shamsuddin al-Dhahabi. But here we're talking about Khatib. Summa ja'a بعد من تأخر عن الخطيب فأخذ من هذا العلم بنصيب. Then those who came after Khatib, they also took a piece of that علم. Okay, they also engaged with that. فجمع قاضي القاضي عياذ كتابا لطيفا سماه الإلماع. So Imam Qadi Iyaz rahmatullahi alayh has written a book called Ilma. See if I have a note on that. So the Ilma', so Imam Qadi Iyaz rahmatullahi alayhi died in 554, and the Ilma' is it is famous, but it's not as famous. The reason why is because it's not exhaustive. It's more on kind of tahammulul adha, and in a way the Ilma' is kind of an introduction to his commentary on the Sahih Muslim called Ikmalul Mul'im. So that's why, you know, although he has written on it, it's not as famous because it's a part of a bigger collection. And then he talks about Abu Hafs al-Mayanji, okay? Abu Hafs al-Mayanji, or sometimes known as al-Mayanshi, Abu Hafs al-Mayanji or Mayanshi, Juz'an, right? A Juz. سماه ما لا يسع المحدث جهله, which he entitled that which the muhaddith cannot ignore. Yeah, that which the muhaddith cannot afford to ignore. ما لا يسع المحدث جهله, that which the muhaddith cannot afford to ignore. Now, here, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahmatullahi alayhi does a tafsira. He has a critical note here. Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda basically says that this book by Abu Hafs al-Mayanji should be called Yasa'ul Muhaddis Jahlahu. Yeah, that which the Muhaddid can afford and should ignore. He says this book, Abu Hafs al-Mayanji, should be called Yasa'ul Muhaddis Jahlahu. And the reason why he mentions this is because Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda says that there's blatant mistakes and errors in that book. And if Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi did not mention this name, right? And we don't know why Imam Ibn Hajar mentioned this name, but if he didn't mention Al-Mayanishi, then nobody would have known him. You know, he would have just withered away into oblivion. And I actually read the Mala Yasa'ul Muhaddis Jahlahu. It's very short and it's got a lot of mistakes and there is nothing wow about it to be included in this fihrist. Wallahu alam, we don't know why Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayh mentions it here. But as a response to that, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda has he's edited a few risalas. I had it here. Losing my books. Probably left it in my office at work. Sheikh Abdul Fattah, just 1 minute, Hussein. Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, as a response to this, he basically wrote a book or edited a book. He was more of an editor rather than kind of an author. He edited a book called Salasu Rasail fi Ulumul Hadith. And in there, you know, this is where he discusses that, and he gives a counter, he responds to Ibn Hajar Asqalani, and he says, well, rather than Abu Hafs al-Mayanji, these are the books that we should study, which comes in this time. And he says, the book that we should look at is Imam Ibn Abdul Barz, Muqaddama of his Tamheed. Yeah, the Muqaddama of Imam Abdul Barz Tamheed. We should also look at Imam Ibn Athir Al-Jazari's Muqaddama of his Jami' Al-Usul. And another book that he mentions, either it's Imam Tahawi's book on Akhbarana and Haddathana, or that is in another Risala that Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda has edited. So he's edited that. I'm not sure if it's part of that three Risala or if it's another book. He has another edited collection, which is called 10 Risalas in Ulumul Hadith. So he's done quite a lot of those books, Risalas, which we don't have access to. He's put them together. He's edited them. He's put his commentaries and things like that. So these are the books that Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, he recommends. Hussein.
I was going to ask, did Ibn Salah mention this particular author and his book?
I don't think so. Ibn Salah doesn't mention any of this. I think he only mentions Khatib. I don't remember reading Ibn Salah. Let's see.
Because I was wondering, you said some of this was taken from Ibn Salah's book. So it's interesting if Ibn Salah didn't mention him, but Ibn Hajar did.
Ibn Hajar is an independent. Ibn Hajar is independent. So, he doesn't. Just looking at Ibn Salah doesn't mention anything. No, this is unique. Yeah, he does rely on, he does rely on, you know, Ibn Salah, but he's an independent thinker. And we will see that now. In a bit, yeah, how he's an independent thinker. وأمثال ذلك من التصانيف التي اشتهرت وبسطت ليتوفر علمها واختصرت ليتيسر فهمها إلى أن جاء. And there are many, many examples of these tasanif which have become famous, wabusitat, which have been expanded so that the knowledge is available to everyone, wakhtusirat, and they have been summarized, litaysiri fahmiha, so that you are able to kind of understand them easily, ila and ja'a. So for example, some of the works of like Imam Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, you know, comes into this, al-ilma and others, they come into this, ila and ja'a, until, right, he singled out Al-Hafiz, Al-Faqih, Taqiyuddin, Abu Amr, Uthman ibn Salah ibn Abdurrahman, Al-Shahrazuri, Nazilu al-Damashq, Fajama'a, Lama Waliya Tadris al-Hadith bil-Madrasa al-Ashrafiyya, Kitabahu al-Mashhurur, Fahadzaba Fununahu, Wa Amlahu Shay'an, Ba'da Shay'in. فلهذا لم يحصل ترتيبه على الوضع المتناسب واعتنى بتصانيف الخطيب المفرقة فجمع شتات مقاصدها وضم إليها من غيرها نخاب فوائدها فاجتمع في كتابه ما تفرق في غيره فلهذا عاكف الناس عليه وصاروا بسيره فلا يحصى كم ناظم له ومختصر ومستدرك عليه ومقتصر ومعارض له ومنتصر. So now this is like a very big commendation on Hafiz Ibn Salah rahmatullahi alayh, and he's got very kind of flowery articulate language here, which I am not not going to be able to do justice to him freestyle. So what I'm basically going to do is read my translation. So I mean, I can do it, but I won't be precise. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read my translation of the Nuzha of this portion, so that we get the translation specific. Where is it going now? So I am actually translating the Nuzha. It's not an ongoing project. It's an ongoing long project. I don't work on it every day. Whenever I feel like it, I do it. So where is it? So obviously when you're doing a translation, then you need to be specific. You need to be precise. When you're just teaching, then you know you just kind of ad-lib, don't you? So let me let it load up, inshallah. Any other questions before we move on? Right, can you see my screen? You see it?
Yep.
Right. Well-known work, so let's get the Arabic so you can see it. Side by side, like my kind of translation methodology is more, you know, muhawari rather than, you know, literal. I don't believe you can actually do a literal translation. It just makes really bad translation. Okay. Well-known works like these were plenty. Well-known works like these were plenty. Some were detailed to provide comprehensive knowledge, whilst others were condensed for easy understanding. Until Al-Hafiz Al-Faqih Taqiyuddin Abu Amr Uthman ibn Salah ibn Abdurrahman Al-Shahrazuri, a resident of Damascus, appeared. He compiled his famous monograph whilst teaching hadith at the Ashrafiyya College. He improved the science of Ilmul Hadith and dictated his book every so often, as a result of which the order of the book was not optimal. He worked hard on the various monographs of Al-Khatib. He gathered their disparate topics and added selected beneficial points to them from other sources. Thus, he compiled in his book that which is found scattered in various books. It is because of these reasons that people focused on it and modeled their works on it. There is no account of the number of people who have rendered it into a poem, or abridged it, or added to it, or selected portions of it, or critiqued it, or defended it. Okay, so is that okay? Yeah. So what he's basically saying here is that Imam Ibn Hajar, Imam Ibn Salah, rahmatullahi alayhi, who died in 643, he was the principal of the Madrasa Ashrafiyya. It was the flagship kind of hadith place in Damascus. After Imam Ibn Salah dies, then Imam Nawawi becomes the kind of muhtamim of that, and he then carries on the legacy. Imam Ibn Salah rahmatullahi alayhi was a great scholar. He was a mujtahid, but also he has some tafarrudat. For example, I've mentioned before on the Salatul Raghaib, you know, people have, his own student wrote a refutation of him. Anyway, what happens is that he becomes the head teacher, head mudarris, and what he's doing is he's giving lectures on hadith, right? And his lectures then get compiled by students, and then they get published, okay? So these are his lecture notes. And because of that, he says, Kitab al-Fahadzaba Fununahu. So although he's kind of like done tahdhib of the different topics, he's gone more deep into it. Like, for example, before Ibn Salah, you will not get a discussion on this concept of you know, hadith sahih li zatihi, sahih li ghayrihi, hasan li zatihi, hasan li ghayrihi. Yeah. You won't get that discussion. Even, you know, Khatib al-Baghdadi does not mention Hasan li ghayrihi, Hasan li zatihi, Sahih li ghayrihi, Sahih li zatihi. He doesn't mention that. So Khatib Ibn Salah basically starts kind of going more into these kind of mantiki logical, you know, discussion, and says there's a possibility here, or this possibility, or this rational possibility. فَهَزَّبَ فُنُونَهُ وَأَمْلَاهُ شَيْئًا بعد شيء. So he dictated this, you know, bit by bit. Every single time he was able to deliver a class, because remember, he was a principal, so he also had, and being a principal of a madrasa, you also had, it was a political role as well. You know, there were dignitaries coming. The madrasa Ashrafiya also had one of the shoes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they used to get a lot of, or one of the sandals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they used to get a lot of people, you know, from all over the Muslim world coming to do ziyarah of that. So that, and that kind of brought in a lot of revenue for the madrasa. So that also needed to be maintained, it needed to be preserved. Dignitaries used to come, you know, people of high stature, ulama, used to come just to do ziyarah. So, you know, Imam Ibn Salah had to also tend to those guests. So whenever he was able to find some time, he will basically, you know, give lecture. And so he did not actively sit down and work on it as a book. So that's why Imam Ibn Hajar says he's brilliant. He's the one who's kind of brought all the difference. So he went to Khatib al-Baghdadi, he went to, you know, Muhaddith al-Fasil, Ibn Nuqta, Qadhi Iyaz, all of these people. He gathered all of the disparate things together. And, you know, so he talks about them. So where, you know, Imam al-Hakim has got 50 topics in Ulum al-Hadith, Ibn Salah basically has, you know, 65. Yeah, he's got 65. And in fact, Imam Ibn Salah talks about this. I'll read it out, you know, from his work. He mentions all 65, right? And then he says, well, so I've got the Ulum al-Hadith here. He says, وَذَلِكَ آخِرُهَا وَلَيْسَ بِآخِرِ الْمُمْكِنِ فِي ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّهُ قَابِلٌ لِلتَّنْوِيعِ إِلَى مَا لَا يُحْسَى. So he mentions all of the 65 chapters, we can say Ulum or chapters. And then he says, this is the end of it, as far as I am writing. But وَلَيْسَ بِآخِرِ الْمُمْكِنِ فِي ذَلِكَ. However, this is not the final logical possibility. فَإِنَّهُ قَابِلٌ لِلتَّنْوِيعِ إِلَى مَا لَا يُحْسَى. Because you are able to categorize this more until ad infinitum. Yeah, you can make every single category, you can split them up into categories. Yeah, and this is important, right? This is important to understand, you know, when Imam Ibn Salah, so we're looking at Ibn Salah now, not Ibn Hajar. When Imam Ibn Salah says that, is because there are bits where it feels like that Ibn Salah shouldn't have made that category here, because it's fine as one category, he made it into two categories, or he made it into three categories, right? So maybe it would have been easier to comprehend if it was only one category, Yeah. So then he says, "Isla tuhsa ahwal urwat al hadithi wa sifatim," because you are not able to kind of enlist all of the different types of ruwas and their ahwal and the sifat. Wala ahwal mutun al hadithi wa sifatiha wa ma min halatin minha wala sifatin illa wa hiya bi sadadin an tafarrada bi dhikr wa ahliha. Because all of these can be independently mentioned as categories. Fa idha hiya naw'un ala hiyalihi, these are independent categories. Walakinahu nasabun min ghayri irbin. So he said, however, you know, this nuanced, you know, infinite categorization, he says this is nasabun min ghayri irb, this is, you know, hard work without the need. There's no need. You're just kind of wasting your time. Wa hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Okay, so he sufficed with a kind of 65. Imam al-Hakim has 54. Where is it? And others have come, like, for example, Imam, what's his name? Imam al-Dhahabi comes and he adds 80, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So you can add infinitum, but 65 is kind of like the dominant or understanding in ulum al-hadith. Yeah? فَلِهَذَا But one of the, one of the things, though, about the, you know, the 65 categories of ulum al-hadith, and Sheikh Sharif Hatim al-Auni mentions this, and I mentioned Sheikh Sharif Hatim al-Auni because some of the things that I mentioned might be quite controversial. Sheikh Sharif Hatim al-Auni is a much more senior scholar than me, and these are the things that he's saying. And he's basically like straightforward. He says a lot of the things that we have, the 65 categories of, or 65 ulum, yeah, of ulum al-hadith by Imam Ibn Salah, he goes, a lot of them are not ulum in this sense. They're names of books that Khatib al-Baghdadi has written. So for example, Ma'rifatul Ansab, he goes, that's not a istilah of, you know, ulum al-hadith. That's the name of a book that Khatib has mentioned. Ma'rifatul Mubhamat, that's the name of a book that Khatib has mentioned. Ma'rifatul Asmaul Kuna is the name of a book that Khatib has written. Ma'rifatul Riwayatul Abna Anil Aba, that's the name of a book, because that's not a category, right? That's not a category of ulum al-hadith, right? All of these are talking about names. So you've got all of these names, right? It's not a category, right? And in fact, it actually confuses a lot because you're dividing so many things and there's so many istilahat you need to remember. Al-Mu'talaf wal-Mukhtalaf is not a terminology. It's a name of a book written by Ibn Salah. Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayhi. So again, you don't do anything with that knowledge. You don't critique it. You study it, but because this is an intermediate course, I will introduce you to all of these kind of debates and controversies. Any questions before we move on? Okay. فلا يحصى. Okay. So then he says, وَعْتَنَا بِتَصْنِيفِ الْخَتِيبِ الْمُفَرَّقَةِ. So all of the different, works of Khatib, which are different, spread out, all the different monographs, he compiled them together, and then he also added more stuff to it, and added more. So because of that, he says, فَلِهَذَا عَكَفَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهِ. And because it's the discussion is full, scholars before him, their discussions were not full, but because his discussion is full, right, that's why people have focused on that more, despite the fact that it's got problems of organization, right? So so this is a question to all of you, where do you envisage the topic of mutawatir hadith, hadith mutawatir, hadith mashhur, hadith khabr al-wahid, where do you envisage that discussion coming in a ulum al-hadith book? Just respond. Anyone? It's okay if you get it wrong.
In terms of kind of like widehood acceptance?
Physically, where would it come in the book? Is it beginning, end, middle? Where do you think, where does it logically make sense to come?
Somewhere towards the beginning and middle, maybe just before the middle.
The beginning, because when you start with, like, I mean, Ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahmatullah alayhi, he starts with hadith and then it goes into mutawatir and mashhur and, you know, all of that. In the beginning, if you look at that discussion in Imam Ibn Salah's books of mutawatir, where is mutawatir? It comes in Ma'rifat al-Mashhur, which is the 30th chapter in the book. If it's 65 chapters in the book, then 30 is right bang in the middle. Right? There is no kind of relationship between the discussions before and the discussions after. Even then, he basically says that mutawatir is a type of mashhur. Whereas we know that mutawatir, you know, is independent of its own, and mashhur is a different type. Yeah. Now, amongst the usulul hadith, ulumul hadith, the muhaddithun, and the usulul fiqh scholars, there is a difference of opinion as to the usulul hadith scholars. Usulul fiqh scholars say hadiths are three types. Yeah, mutawatir, mashhur, khabri wahid. Yeah. The ulumul hadith scholars, the muhaddithun, they say hadiths are two types: mutawatir and khabr ahad. Khabr ahad are three types: mashhur, aziz, gharib. Ibn Salah, in the 30th chapter, he says, and from the ahadith is mashhur, and one type of mashhur is mutawatir. Right? So this is what Ibn Hajar means, that the subjects are not, they're not logically, the arrangement is all messy, very, very messy. You don't have a relationship in the, within the topics. Yeah. So, despite that, it's a fuller discussion than everything previously, and therefore people have relied on that. So it says, فَلَا يُحْسَى. Yeah. فَلَا يُحْسَى. So it says, it is because of these reasons that people focused on it and modeled their works on his. Everybody, annasu ba'da Ibn Salah, iyalun ala kitabihi. You can say that without a doubt, that everyone that came after Ibn Salah, they have basically modeled their book on Ibn Salah. Fala yuhsa kam nazimin lahu. There is no account of the number of people who have rendered it into a poem. Right, the best poems written on Ibn Salah's book is Alfiya of Imam Iraqi. So 1,000 poems. He's turned the whole thing into 1,000 poems by Imam Iraqi, which is called At-Tabsira wal-Tadhkira. Iraqi, Zainuddin Iraqi, was a teacher of Ibn Hajar, and Ibn Hajar stayed with Iraqi for 10 years, and then Iraqi gave him ijaza. Iraqi also has a sharah of his own Alfiya. Yeah, he has a sharah of his own Alfiya, which is different from Ibn Salah. But the original Alfiya is a poetical rendition of Ibn Salah's book. Similarly, Asuyuti has a book called Alfiya, which is a bit more easier than Iraqi's Alfiya. Again, it's 1,000 poetry on that. ومختصر, and how many اختصارات are there? مختصر, for example, Imam Ibn Kathir has a book called اختصار علوم الحديث, or اختصار علوم الحديث. It's a مختصر of Ibn Salah's book. In fact, it's quite مختصر, but also he has his... because he was a hadith scholar himself, he also has his own explanations of things. Like, for example, when it comes to what does hadith in Hasan and Sahih mean, he has an explanation which is different from Ibn Salah. When we come to that chapter, then I will go through the different explanations. So that's a mukhtasar. Some people basically say that it's called al-ba'ithul hasith, the name of Ibn Kathir's book is called Al-Ba'ith al-Hadith. That's actually not true. Imam Ibn Kathir's book is called Ikhtisar Ulum al-Hadith, and the editor, his name is Hamza Abdul Razzaq, the modern editor Hamza Abdul Razzaq, he edited the book and then he wrote a sharh of Ikhtisar Ulum al-Hadith, and his sharh is called Al-Ba'ith al-Hadith. And people then mistook it to that Ibn Kathir's book is called Al-Ba'ith al-Hadith. And in fact, it's also published in some publications, some nuskhas. The book has now is published as Ba'ith al-Hadith, but that's actually incorrect. The original name is Ikhtisar Ulum al-Hadith. Then, how many istidrakats are there? Mustadraks are basically people who are critiquing, you know, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayh, because of not Ibn Hajar, Ibn Salah, because they feel that the book can be made better by you know, adding that critique. So, for example, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani himself has got an istidrak on Ibn Salah, two volumes called An-Nukat ala Ibn Salah. And it's a critique, but it's a critique that adds to the value. Rabi' Ibn al-Hadi al-Madkhali is the editor of that. Does anybody know who Rabi' Ibn al-Hadi al-Madkhali is?
No, I feel like I've heard the name before.
Yeah, so Rabi' ibn al-Hadi al-Madkhali is the founder of the Madkhali movement, the Uber kind of Salafi, very, very kind of staunch Uber scholar. His politics is completely wacky, but as a hadith scholar, he's actually good, and he's the editor of this book, An-Nukat ala Ibn Salah. Then you have Muqtasirin, so what did I say, selected portion, so some people might take a selected portion of that and then kind of write a bit on that. And then you have Wa Mu'aridin Lahu, or Mu'aridin can have two meanings. Yeah, Mu'arid can mean, so I've got a note here, So mu'arid, one meaning of mu'arid is basically mu'arid as in a person who's a critic, who's writing an opposition to that. So, for example, the biggest critic of, you know, so if, like, for example, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani's book, the Nuzhatun Nadhr, his student, Qasim Ibn Qutlubgha, who was a Sharih al-Bukhari, Hanafi scholar, also Sharih of Quduri, is his biggest critic. He's written a whole criticism of the... It's a shara, but it's a critical shara. But mu'arid can also mean mu'aridatu shar. Sheikh Hatim al-Auni says that mu'arid is to copycat the style. So Sheikh Hatim says there is only one person that has done that, and that is somebody called Ibn Abi Ad-Dam al-Hamawi in a book called Tawfiq wal-Inaya. He copied the style, but he did not use the same qawa'id. He used different qawa'ids. And he says that this is it's a book which is not published yet. It's in manuscript. Okay, so you got all of this. And then you've got Muntasirin. Muntasirin is people who come to the defense. And one of the defense is, for example, Fathul Mughith by Imam al-Sakhawi, which is a four-volume commentary of the Alfiya of Imam Iraqi. And in there, he basically defends Ibn Salah from a lot of the criticisms as well. Other books which are written on this topic is which takes from it. So, for example, Mukhtasar or Muqtasir is, for example, Imam al-Nawawi's book, At-Taqrib and Al-Irshad. So Imam Nawawi has written these books which are mukhtasarat, and then Imam al-Suyuti goes and does a sharah of a taqrib, you know, tadrib al-rawi fi taqrib al-nawawi. So he does that, and then in the modern period, there's another book by which I really like. It's called, I don't know if you can see this, Zafrul Amani by Allama Abdul Hayy Laknawi rahmatullahi alayhi, Zafrul Amani. And this is basically a commentary of the Mukhtasar of Sayyid Sharif al-Jurjani fi Mustalah al-Hadith. So Sayyid Sharif al-Jurjani has written a Mukhtasar of Ibn Salah's book, and Imam Allama Laknawi basically has written a sharah of that book called Zafrul Amani. I use that quite a lot because, you know, he Al-Laknawi was a polymath, and he has very interesting kind of anecdotes, you know, in there. You know, very, very nice stuff, some weird stuff in there as well. So it's quite nice. So, for example, you know, he's talking about, you know, the discussion on whether... you know, ard al muhaddith, when you read to a muhaddith, you know, then, you know, the muhaddith, what should be the situation of the muhaddith? Does he have to listen to the scholar, listen to the student, or can he be involved in everything? So he basically said, I have not come across anyone who can, a sheikh who can multitask, right, other than my uncle. Yeah, my uncle was a muhaddith, but also he was a greengrocer's, and he used to have students sitting and reading hadith to him whilst he was selling, buying and selling, you know, vegetables and fruits. And he's buying and selling, but if any of his students made a mistake, he will straight away catch them out. You know, so that's how good he was. So he's got all of these, you know, quite discussions in there, but it's quite full. The book. That after, I mean, if you really want to understand Ulumul Hadith, then what you need to do is you need to read a wide range of books. You can't just read one book or two. You need to have like a flavor. Like I've been reading on this topic for 10 years now, on and off. You know, when I was doing my PhD, a student basically asked me, like, what am I doing? So there was like back about 10 years ago, there was this craze, you know, of people memorizing mutun, matans and things like that. So he basically, as I said, well, I'm doing a PhD, you know, on Ulumul Hadith and Tirmizi. So he said, have you memorized the Baiquniya? Have you memorized the Baiquniya? So he said, I said to him, no, I haven't memorized the Baiquniya. So he said, well, how can you be doing a PhD in Hadith and Ulumul Hadith if you haven't memorized the Baiquniya? I said, tell you the truth, before today, not only have I not memorized the Baiquniya, I've never heard of the Baiquniya. I've never ever heard of that. You are the first person who's mentioned that to me. And yet still I'm doing a PhD because I'm going to the original sources. The Baiquniya is basically like a nadham, very, very basic nadham, like Alfiya, or even more basic than that. Well, afterwards I went and read it and there wasn't, you know, but one of the books that, you know, the penny dropped for me was this book here. And I read this book thoroughly, engaged with this quite a lot. And that was the book that really did it for me. It's this book called Manhaj al-Naqd fi Ulum al-Hadith. Manhaj al-Naqd fi Ulum al-Hadith by Sheikh Nuruddin Itr, rahmatullahi alayhi. Sheikh Nuruddin Itr also has a interesting, you know, tertib to the book, which is different from Ibn Salah, and which is different to also Sheikh Ibn Hajar Asqalani. This is the book that I read, and I read this book in like about 2 months, very thoroughly, and this is the book that made the penny drop for me. Not the classical text, because it's of the way of the tertib. The tertib itself has a massive impact on connecting, you know, topics to each other. If you read Ibn Salah's book, you know, the topics, because they're so disparate, they're so organization is so messed up that you don't see holistically. This book, reading it now, I have a certain kind of critique on the tertib. But I've actually written an article on the tertib of this book. I can share it with you, inshallah, when the portal is up. But that was the book, Manhaj al-Naqd fi Ulum al-Hadith, which did it for me. So we will leave it here. So because it's this section is, let me share my screen again. It's the beginning sections. So there's a bit of a history that I just needed to give so that you have a fuller discussions. Next week, we'll look at Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani's reason for writing this book and what are the processes and how is it different. And then we'll move on to kind of Ulum al-Hadith. I've got 15 minutes. Do we have any questions? Questions related to today's sabak, questions related to yesterday's sabak, or anything else? Yes.
Actually, I only joined the course a couple of days ago, so I didn't have a chance to attend the first session. Yes. So I just want to know if you could recommend what books I should order for this course.
So the only book that you need for this is the text that I have. You don't really need any other books other for the time being. Okay. Because what happens is when you look at too many things at the same time, then you get too much distracted. So my advice will be just to focus on the book that we are studying. If you want to study a text book on Hadith studies in English, if you want, then Hashim Kamali's book is quite good. As far as if you want to know the kind of developments and things like that, then the best book on that is, which is quite old, is Hadith Literature and Its Origin by Zubair Siddiqui, edited by Sheikh Abdul Hakim Murad, Islamic Text Societies. Also, Jonathan Brown's Hadith, Muhammad's Legacy in the Traditional and Modern World, is also quite good overview. I've written a 30-page 30-page chapter on kind of like an overview of all of the all of this. Then I can also, once the portal is working, I will put that chapter up as well. But your focus should be the Nuzha itself. Yeah.
JazakAllah khair.
Anyone else? Hussein?
No, so I was actually going to ask a similar question, and the book Qawaid fi Ulum al-Hadith, the one you edited, I was going to ask if it's worthwhile maybe reading that in parallel to this course.
No, because Qawaid fi Ulum al-Hadith, the one that's published by Yahya Bai is here, right? Let me make Yahya Bai happy. Go and buy the book. Okay, that's the first thing. But for the purpose of this, for the purpose of this course, don't study the book, right? Maybe we might have more advanced, and I might teach you, go through that with you. But for the purpose of this, don't study that book, because that book will confuse you now. Because that is more what Maulana Zufar Ahmed Uthmani, what he does in his 18 volumes of I'la al-Sunan is he is writing a Hanafi defense of Hadith. Yeah? A Hanafi, so he's trying to prove, Mullah Shafi'i Thanavi told him, write a book where we can prove Hanafi fiqh from Hadith. Right? So that's what he does. But the problem is that if we stick to the Nuzha, and if we stick to Khatib al-Baghdadi, and we were to use that methodology to look at the ahadith of Hanafi dalails, then more than half of them will be weak, right? More than half of them, because according to that ulumul hadith of Nuzha and Ibn Salah, all of these Hanafi dalails will be weak, right? And Sheikh Zafar Ahmed Uthmani knows that. So what he basically does is he deconstructs the entire ulumul hadith by making one single point. And he makes that point and he says that Ulum al-Hadith is not wahi, it's not revealed science. And therefore, we are at liberty to construct our own methodology of hadith, right? So then he deconstructs Ibn Salah's Ulum al-Hadith, and then he reconstructs an Ulum al-Hadith based on Hanafi Usul al-Fiqh. And then on the basis of that, he is testing the ahadith, okay? In a way, this is a Pyrrhic victory. A Pyrrhic victory basically means that you have won the war, but even by winning, you have lost. Even your win is your loss. And the reason why that is because you are trying to present a book which you are saying that it conforms to all of the rules of hadith, and you want the muhaddisun to acknowledge that and basically say, yes, the Hanafi madhab is based on hadith. But when you present that, they look at it and they say, well, this usul that you're using, we don't recognize it. This is not our methodology. You've made up your own methodology. Does that make sense? So it's a Pyrrhic victory. And a lot of young ulama, Hanafi ulamas, who, you know, they make a big deal out of it. And I'm not critiquing the book. I'm basically saying, and it's his haq to write a book like that. And it's everyone's haq to be happy and be proud of that. But then to go and pass it off as your normal hadith book and the Hanafi, everything of Hanafi fiqh can be proven from the exactly same methodology of Imam Bukhari and Muslim and Tirmidhi. Either the ulama who say this, they haven't read the book, they just believe that it's a hadith book, or they're being dishonest. Yeah? Is that okay? So it's the discussions are a bit more advanced and technical. We can look at those in another. If wise allow me to teach that, then we can look at that. Yes, Fahad, you had a question.
Yeah, Sheikh. So I know this book is like an intermediate one, but what's like the major difference between Baiqunia and this book?
So the major difference is Baiqunia is poetry. Yeah. This is not poetry. That's the major difference. The second major difference is that you shouldn't compare the Nuzha to Baiqunia. You should compare the Baiqunia to the Nukhba. Yeah, remember the Nukhba is the base text written by Imam Ibn Hajar, and the Nuzha is the commentary of the Nukhba. Yeah. So for example, in the Nukhba, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani is basically saying hadith is three types, you know, or hadith is two types, mutawatir and khabr ahad. Move on, right? Khabr ahad, three types: mashhur, aziz, gharib. Move on to the next topic, right? In the Nuzha, Imam Ibn Hajar says hadith is two types: mutawatir and khabr ahad. And then he goes into a long epistemological discussion, mantiki discussion on ilm dururi, ilm nadari, muhtaf bil qara'in, that if you don't have basic knowledge of mantiq, right, and ilmul kalam, it will be very difficult for you to understand that discussion. If you haven't done that, then it will be a bit of a difficult discussion for you, but I will try to break it down as far as possible. So it is a bit more. The other thing is that in the Nuzha, what Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani does is he also has tangents, right? So he's talking about one topic, right? And then he will find a small link that will link it to another topic, which is not related to that topic at hand, but it's another topic completely different, and there is a slight relationship between them, like a one word relationship, and he will go off on a tangent, right? And and that confuses the student if they don't know, what's happening. So, for example, in the discussion of gharib and fard, you know. Tafarrud, he's basically discussing when do the ulama basically say qad tafarrada, when do the ulama say qad tagharraba, or when do they say aghraba, when do they say munkar, and from there he goes into another completely different discussion related to another word which has got no relation with the topic of tafarrud and gharib, but his discussion just led him there by and by. So when he is criticizing Imam Ibn Salah on the fact that Imam Ibn Salah's work isn't fully kind of organized in a way which is comprehensible, then my critique, like I said, I've taught the Nuzhat al-Nadhar three times now fully. I've taught the Nukhba three times fully. I've engaged with this work for 10 years. I'm translating it. My own observation is that there are certain bits of the Nuzha itself that can do with a better categorization or better organization. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yes, sir. So the publication which you suggested was...
this one. So like I said, once I get access to the portal, and do you all have access to the portal?
Yeah, we do have, but I don't see anything posted.
Yeah, so my for some reason, my access is not working. So once I get access, Brother Salman gives me access, then I will upload everything, inshallah. So my access is not working.
When you say portal, are you just referring to the kind of, the WISE website where you log in through there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how to access that. Let's see, inshallah, when I get the technical help, then I will upload something, inshallah. Any other questions? We've got 5 minutes. Like I said, this is an intermediate discussion. So we can have some of these kind of discussions here. Had this been had I been teaching Nukhba, then I wouldn't have gone into that depth because that would just confuse you. Yeah.
I don't know if it's more of a tangent, but I'm just wondering about Imam Suyuti and his methodology. How would it have differed from Ibn Hajar and people who preceded him? And I know sometimes when I go in hadith databases, you might have some hadithun that will degrade a hadith weak, and Imam Suyuti will maybe say it's Hassan or Sahih. And it might, just as a layman, I'm just wondering if he had a different, approach. Yes.
So, it's a very good question. Number one is that you have to be careful with Imam Suyuti's gradation, right? Okay. The reason why you be careful with Imam Suyuti's gradation is because you look at where Imam Suyuti is doing that gradation. Imam Suyuti has written three books, right? Number one is called Al-Jami'u Al-Kabir. Number two is called Al-Jami'u Al-Saghir. And number three is called Al-Ikmal. Yeah? Uh-huh. And in those three books, what Imam Suyuti is trying to do is collect every single hadith there is in the world in one database. That is what he's trying to do. Al-Jami' al-Kabir, Al-Jami' al-Saghir, and Al-Ikmal. Yeah? Every single hadith that is in the world, he's trying to collect them. So he's trying to put them in like a database, you want to say, or an encyclopedia. He has many ahadith in there, but there's so many others that have been left out. So then Imam Abdul Rauf al-Manawi, he comes and he adds another addendum to that called Al-Jami'u al-Azhar, and he adds books that Imam Suyuti has left out. So hadiths that Imam Suyuti has left out. Now, because Imam Suyuti's primary intention is jama'a, collecting ahadith in one book, he does not have the time to critically analyze the isnad. Okay? He does not have the time to critically analyze the isnad. And therefore, he developed a very crude and fast methodology of categorizing the hadith. It's a very, very like a rough methodology. Yeah? Mm-hmm. He basically said that the ahadith from the books where their ulama, the authors, have said themselves that they are going to, they have done iltizam and they have said that they are going to collect sahih hadiths. If the ahadith is referenced from one of those books, then the hadith is sahih. Mm. That works for Bukhari and Muslim. Mm-hmm. But within that category, he also has Ziyaul Maqdis's Al-Mukhtara. He has Al-Mustadrak al-Sahihain. He has Ibn Hibban's book, right? So all of these other books, which although the ulama, the authors, have basically said that they want to include only sahih hadiths, but they couldn't live up to their expectation. And some of them also have weak hadiths in there. Mm-hmm. But for Imam Suyuti to basically say that these books, yeah, when you see a hadith from these books, then automatically understand that them to be sahih, is a methodological flaw. Because people will see, Ziyal Maqdis's Al-Mukhtara, and will think automatically the hadith is sahih. Whereas if you actually look into the methodology, it might actually be weak. Then he basically says that the Sunan books, if you look at the Sunan, if a hadith comes from the Sunan books, then automatically understand them to be Hasan. The hadith, if it comes from Mustad al-Firdaus al-Daylami and all these other books, then automatically understand them to be weak. Now, Imam al-Suyuti is not making a claim on the Isnad al-Hadith. I mean, he knows that that is a weak methodology, it is a roughshod methodology. He knows that himself. But that is just for that particular book, or those three books, which Sheikh Ali Muttaqi, Sheikh Ali Muttaqi al-Hindi, was a Gujarati scholar. He wrote a book called Kanzul Ummal, which he compiled all of the three books by Imam Suyuti and gave them a different organizations of fiqh abwab. Rather than, Imam Suyuti's books is basically mentioned according to the atraf of the hadith, the first words of the hadith, which first line of the hadith, which is very difficult to maneuver. So Imam Suyuti himself recognizes that this is, it's only a rough methodology. So it's like, this is a rough methodology. If you're gonna gather 100,000 hadiths, right, and your main purpose of the gathering, you won't have the time to sift through them. So you need a rough methodology of categorizing the hadith. That's what Imam Suyuti has done. In fact, Imam Shawkani, who's a later scholar, he has a sharah of Al-Hisn al-Hasin. The Fortress of the Believer, the Dua book. Oh. He has a sharah of that called Tuhfat al-Dhakirin. Right? It's a brilliant sharah. Of the Hasan al-Hasin, Tuhfat al-Dhakirin. And in the Tuhfat al-Dhakirin, he talks about his methodology and he critiques Suyuti and he says, I'm not going to be like Suyuti where I'm going to make a rough methodology of grading hadith. I'm going to critically analyze every single hadith. So that was a dig. It wasn't a dig, he mentions it specifically by name. So those people who take a Suyuti and take a Suyuti's classification, even a Suyuti won't agree with them. And that wasn't Imam Suyuti's, purpose. So these people, so they don't know Imam Suyuti's methodology, and that's why they're getting it wrong. So you need to be careful with these kind of gradations, because Imam Suyuti wasn't actually in the business of grading the hadith. Yeah, he was in the business of doing jama' of the hadith.
Perfect. Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, in that case, we will close the class. Jazakumullah khair. I will see you next week. But can I give you one date, which I am not able to come to the class because I am away in Birmingham, and I'm teaching the iftar class in Birmingham, and I fear that I will not be able to come back on time because my class will finish at 5 o'clock and it's impossible to get here by. So the 19th of February, I will not be able to attend the class. So, you can take 2 hours of your life back, inshallah. And then, so just note that the 19th of February. Okay? Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh.